We're going to continue our series today, 40 Days with Jesus. I believe this is session 5. We've got 3 more to go. We got next Sunday, then we got Good Friday, then we got Easter Sunday. We're going to look at a video in just a sec, but I want to read the scripture that had to do with it. The setting of this is that Jesus has just come into Jerusalem on the what they call the triumphal entry, where he was riding on the back of a donkey, and they were throwing the palm branches, and they were singing the halals, and you know, right after that, I mean, it was an exciting time. This is the time of Passover. This was the last Passover. This was the Passover on which the crucifixion would take place. This is the time that Christ would be sacrificed. This is in John chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 20 through 33. So follow me. It'll be on the screen if you got your Bible, if you can see it. Follow there. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came to Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, it's almost like just Jesus ignores it. "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. But most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." Verse 27. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." That's a significant verse of scripture there. Jesus says, well, what should I say? You know, Father, deliver me from this. Deliver me from my purpose. Or should I say, Father, glorify your name? Good question. Then a voice came from heaven saying, "If I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to me." This he said, signifying what death he would die. Let's watch this video. That's a happy sister, isn't it? We need some of that. Yes. You know, Israel kind of had an idea of what they thought the Messiah's mission was. They were wrong. Jesus was very attractive to people. You know, at one point before the crucifixion, the leaders looked and saw the people following Jesus, and they said, "The whole world is following him." He was very attractive. It was during this time. But it wasn't a short time later that the same ones were crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." See, they thought that his mission was to take over. And it is, but not in the way that they thought. People wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to be around him. And Jesus kind of deflected all of that. And that's when he said in this verse, and I'll go back and read it. "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Now, there's multiple meanings to this verse, but mainly he was talking about himself. They were trying to celebrate his life, but he knew what his mission was. He asked a question, "Should I say, you know, Father, deliver me from this?" No. Glorify your name. And that's when it thundered, because he hit the nail on the head. There's nothing about the passion of Christ that is glorious. It was not an easy time for Jesus. It was very difficult. See, some people think that Jesus was this monotone, and we've seen movies that kind of portray him that way. He was this unemotional, walk through, act out the scene. No, can I just say it? No personality. But Jesus was passionate. Why would people follow somebody who had no personality? Why would they follow someone who had no passion in their life? Jesus loved. He hurt. He felt pain. And this is what he's fixing to face. And the Bible said that he was troubled. In fact, in Gethsemane, and when we were in Israel, we got to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. It doesn't look like what I pictured it would look like in my mind. There's huge trees there in Gethsemane. But Gethsemane means the place of the wine press. It was a place of extreme pressure. Jesus was not acting out a scene. He was being tempted to the very core of his nature. See, Jesus didn't have to do what he did. One of the temptations on the cross was when he was hanging there, and they mocked him and said, "If you're the Son of God, come down." What they didn't realize was that he could. At any moment, he could have said, "Father, deliver me. I'm not going to do it." And God would have sent the angels. They would have delivered him and probably wiped out about half of the folks there. Was Jesus tempted not to go? Yes. See, a lot of people think, no, Jesus was never tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way like you and I, yet without sin. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he strove so hard against sin that the capillaries in his began to erupt, and he began to sweat blood and sweat. It was hard. There was nothing easy about it. his soul was filled with anguish. And see, as we look at this season, we need to realize what he went through, not only on the cross. That was only part of it, but the anguish before the cross, and after the cross was anguish. We're going to look at some verses in the Old Testament in a minute. Jesus knew and understood this. You do know Jesus was Jewish, don't you? Heard the story one time, kids talking, little Jewish kid and this other kid, Christian kid, and he said something that Jesus was a Jew. No, he wasn't. Run to his mama and said, "Mama, he said Jesus was a Jew." "Yeah, he was a Jew." He says, "Well, I knew God was Southern Baptist, but I didn't know Jesus was a Jew." There's a lot of times we don't realize. I mean, we think from our mindset here about stuff, and we think all wrong. We don't have that kind of mindset. Jesus was Jewish. You remember the story when he was 12? He was in the temple, astounding the leaders with his knowledge, asking them questions, probably some that they couldn't answer. Jesus understood the Old Testament. Now see, here's something that we need to realize. The Old Testament is vital to our faith. The Old Testament is vital to our New Testament faith. There are churches who just disregard the Old Testament. It's unimportant. It's unneeded. Listen, concealed in that Old Testament is your New Testament. Revealed in your New Testament is that Old Testament. We are tied together. The Testaments are tied together because one depends on the other. Prophets spoke hundreds of years before Christ ever came on the scene, and they described the Messiah. And I want us to look at some verses today. And these are Old Testament verses. And this will give you a little insight to what Jesus knew and understood that he was about to face, and why it was such a challenge to his life and to his heart. Jesus was human. Jesus was God. You know, it's kind of hard to explain this, that Jesus was 100% God and 100% human. He was a man. But there's these Old Testament verses, and I just want to go through some of these, and this is what we're going to spend the rest of our time doing, is looking in the Old Testament. And see if you can see what Jesus understood and what he knew that he had to face. We're going to begin in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication." In the Old Testament, guess what the Old Testament talks about? Grace. Grace. God's willingness to use his power on our behalf. Grace. "Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one who grieves for a firstborn." Prophetic. The prophet was speaking. The word pierced there describes something that happened on Calvary that wasn't even invented when this was spoken. Crucifixion came later. Psalms 41:9. This is a description of betrayal that we knew took place on the night Jesus was crucified. "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, sat at the Passover table and ate the broken bread, has lifted up his heel against me. There's a description of Judas Iscariot right there. Zechariah 11, 12. Then I said to them, if it's agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. Does that sound familiar? And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. That princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. What happened when Judas Iscariot comes back and he realizes that he'd made a mistake and he brings the money back and they wouldn't take the money and he threw it and left? You know what they did with that money? They took that money and bought a field called the potter's field, the field of blood. There it is in the Old Testament. Jesus knew about it by the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. All of that happened on the day of crucifixion. Psalms 22, listen to this. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? What was it that Jesus said on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 6 of that same chapter. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. That happened on Calvary. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. I'm poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue clings to my jaw. You brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. Listen to this. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garment among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. There it is. That's what happened on crucifixion. Psalm 69:21. You know, I believe that God someday is going to use this to reach Israel. This is their scripture. They don't acknowledge the New Testament. They don't believe in it. They believe in the Old Testament. And it's these very scriptures that speak of Jesus. Psalm 69:21. They also gave me gall for my food. And for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. That happened on the cross. 31:5, Psalms 31:5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. What did Jesus say right before he died? Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Psalms 34, verse 20. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Not one of Jesus' bones were broken on the cross. And that's an amazing thing. Consider what he went through. Then Isaiah. This is a long reading. This is probably the last one that we'll read. But this is probably the most descriptive of the horror that was to face the Messiah. 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. You know, the thing that we see on most of the passion movies doesn't show what it really looked like. Jesus was beaten so brutally that he didn't even look like a man. His bones were exposed. His entrails were exposed. He's marred. His visage was marred more than any man. Verse 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had been not been told, them they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Wow. How descriptive. That verse is hundreds of years before the crucifixion. Hundreds of years before crucifixion was the mode of execution. Those Old Testament prophets saw by the Spirit of God what was to take place. Jesus, knowing that, it can give us a little insight into why his soul was troubled. This is not an easy thing for him to do, but the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what? That one seed that was put into the ground so that many seed could come about. You and I are that seed. You and I are the ones that benefited from all of that. Don't ever say God doesn't love you. Don't ever say that God has forsaken you. He hasn't, nor will he ever. You know why? He loves you. And we say this all the time. He loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. I could shout right now. I want you to stand with me today. We're going to worship God. We're not going to do prayer time today. If you need something, reach out to God right where you're at. But I want this to be a time of thanksgiving. See, we're coming into the Easter season where we're rejoicing Good Friday, the crucifixion, Easter Sunday, the resurrection. He did it all because you had a need for it to happen. And if we can't rejoice about that, if we can't raise our hands about that, don't ever lift your hands in woo pig suey, okay? If you can't raise your hands and praise God for what Jesus did, listen, I want us to worship God today. Can we do that? Amen. Let's sing.